Carroll bringing it forward. Thompson's making the run. Carroll hangs on to it though. Still David Carroll. Could go all the way here.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of Ringing the Blues for this season. On the show this week, we have all the action and reaction from the game against Charlton Athletic at Adams Park. We catch up with Alex from Wishaw Wickham Wanderers to find out about the latest goings on north of the border. Wickham Wanderers women's season has come to a close, so we found out how they've got on this term. Plus, Julian Budd is this week's subject until death us do part. But first, let's head to Mexico City for the final Liga Juan results with Uri.
From Mexico City, it's me, Uri, and here are the results for League 1. Barnsley 1, Northampton Town 1, Derby County 2, Carlisle United 0, Exeter City 1, Oxford United 2, Fleetwood Town 3, Burton Albion 0, Lincoln City 0, Portsmouth 2, Peterborough United 3, Bolton Wanderers 3, Port Vale 0, Cambridge United 0, Reading 3, Blackpool 2, Shrewsbury Town 1, Leyton Orient 3, Stevenage 2, Cheltenham Town 1, Wigan Athletic 2, Bristol Rovers 0, Wycombe Wanderers 1, Charlton Athletic 0. So we finished 10th place in League 1. So Cherboy Spanish this week, 10th place in League 1. So how do we say 10th? Okay, in Spanish we say 10, we say 10. From the Latin decem. So 10th we say décimo. Décimo. Okay, so place, lugar. 10th place, décimo lugar. Décimo lugar en la League One. Congratulations, Cherboys. Back to England with my amigo Filiberto Cachapollos. Adios.
Cheers, Uri. Right then, the Addicts were the final opponents of the season. Wickham were back at Adams Park finally after four away games on the bounce. Toby joined us on commentary, and here's what happened. Here's Butcher. Butcher into Scowen. Scowen gets away from the defender Hector. Now Kone. Kone sliced down. Penalty. Has to be a penalty. Richard Kone far too quick for the defender. And in fact, really, you'd expected Kone to score had the foul not come in. He'd opened it up brilliantly on his right foot. Thomas slid in, wiped out Richard Kone, and Luke Leahy has picked up the ball. And it's deep in conversation with Gareth McCleary. Luke Leahy, who scored on Tuesday night to level things up at Cambridge United, has got the opportunity to fire Wickham Wanderers in the lead here. Nailed on penalty, Toby.
Yeah, really reckless challenge from Thomas, actually. Didn't take the referee a split second to decide, and here we go, Luke.
Leahy with 10 goals in the league for the season already. Left-footed, up against Harry Eisted, in front of the Charlton fans, who are doing their best to put him off. Here comes Leahy now, and scores! Sends the keeper the wrong way, and Luke Leahy, 11 for the season for him. There's the plain celebration. And with many players around the league thinking about their holidays, Luke Leahy, all he thinks about is his plain celebration, which he's done throughout the season. And he's going to enjoy his holiday this season now with 11 goals, Toby.
Yeah, 11 goals from left-back. It reminds you of a certain left-back that's played for many years over at Wickham. Joe Jacobson's special day, and it's almost poetic that Luke Leahy would start it off with a penalty as well from that position that JJ held on for a long time. But yeah, no doubt from the spot. Sends the goalkeeper the wrong way, just kind of waited for Eisted to make the movement towards the right-hand side and fires it into the far corner. What a signing he's been. So many of those signings that Blooms has made have made such an impact, but no more than Luke Leahy. What a personality and what a player.
Absolutely. And the whistle goes. Wycombe Wanderers finish with a win. It's four wins and three draws from the final seven games of the season. It's great momentum going into the summer for Wycombe Wanderers. Luke Leahy's first half penalty, the difference here. Richard Kone won it, Luke Leahy dispatched it. Wycombe Wanderers had the better of the chances. Charlton rallied in the second half, but a decent finish to the season here, Toby.
Yeah, a really, really good finish to the season. Wycombe just sealing the end of what's been a really good first campaign for Matt Bloomfield, a full campaign in charge, and sealing it with a top 10 finish, which I don't think there can be too many complaints about. Obviously we did want a playoff position or something along those lines, but a Wembley final appearance, top 10 in the bank, and onwards and upwards. The Matt Bloomfield reign seems like it's going to be a fruitful one, and hopefully we can have a really, really good season next year. But it's been an absolute pleasure to be a part of it, contributing just a little bit to trying to make Wycombe a better place and a happy place. So thank you so much, as always, for having me on, Phil, as well. It's been an absolute honour. I'm sure I'll be back in some parts, but yeah, what a year, and let's hope that the next year's even better.
Toby, it's been great to have you with us throughout the, not just this season, but before as well, and good luck as you finish your studies before heading back up north. And thank you to everybody who's joined in on the COCOMs this season. That's players, people like Toby as well, and a full range of people here contributing to our broadcast. Everyone at Wycombe Sound, producer Luke, Colin, Rob, everybody connected to Wycombe Sound for their help in making these broadcasts happen and getting Wanderers TV all over the world in line with the pictures and on the audio as well. And thank you guys for being there, not just for this season, for the last 10 years. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a real pleasure to call these games to Wycombe Wanderers, and a privilege. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great summer. Take care. Bye-bye. Gaffer, to finish with a win at home in front of the fans must be lovely. It must be a great feeling.
Yeah, really, really nice. Lovely feeling to finish with a 1-0 home win, to mark it JJ's 400th appearance for our proud football club. An incredible achievement that is. With a nice home win, you know, 1-0 is the best result in football. And, you know, we're really, really pleased.
We mentioned it in the week, but it must feel a bit frustrating that the season has come to a close, because Wycombe are in great, great momentum at the minute.
Yeah, I think that's us fourth since the turn of the year in half a season, 23 games, fourth in the form table. So we're really pleased with the progress we've made. We've got lots more to go because we want to put that half season into a full one. And I dare say there's going to be plenty of roller coaster moments along the way for us to really achieve what we want to achieve. But we have to be pleased with the progress we've made, mate. We've had some real tough times this season. I've questioned myself a lot and what we're doing, because you have to try and be better at all times. But I have huge belief in the staff and the amount of work they're putting in. The players have been absolutely fantastic, and we're really grown as a group.
We often see a team that finishes well, momentum going into the summer hugely important as well, but it's a great platform you've built here going into this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's I think anyone who thought that this season was going to be straightforward was maybe missing the point. To follow the gaffer in the way that he had this football club, I know we had the summer to sort of evolve it slightly, but it was always going to be tough. We hoped it was going to be a little bit more smooth sailing than it's been. But yeah, to really kind of do what we did in January and come back, thank you to our supporters for sticking with us, and more importantly sticking with the players on the pitch, because they need your support at all times. And the guys have enjoyed the second half of the season, I'm sure. Our home form's been good, so yeah, let's really hope that we take that into the summer, get the summer right, and if we can do that, then we want to hit pre-season with it, really with a spring in our step, and look forward to this next season.
And a word for the loanees, because they've really played their part, especially this second half of the season.
Yeah, they've been big for us. Absolutely, they've been big. We spoke about it at the turn of the year when Rob was over, didn't we, about the SEMP and what we had to live within, and that's made loans really important for us this season, more than any other, because we had to live within that. So the parameters with what we had to spend wasn't huge. So loanies were important, and especially second half of the season. I think Potsy and Dalo, what they've done over the whole season, Gideon, Chairman, and Nige have been fantastic second half of the season. Nige has been you know, incredible the last sort of months or so since we got him up. You know, he's going to take time to get him to full fitness. He's been great. I feel really disappointed and sad for Saxon that he'd never got on the pitch for us because of his ankle injury in training. But yeah, a genuine thank you to those boys for the part they've played. And, you know, I hope we'll see some of them again in the future, but who knows?
You're the hardest working man I know. What does the summer look like?
Tomorrow at home to girls. Monday I've got meetings. Tuesday I've got meetings. It's Rosie's birthday, so I'm going to do school drop, go for meetings, come back. Wednesday I've got a full day of meetings. And then, you know, we've got lots of work to do, mate. So there's no resting for me. I've really got ambition here. Got energy and enthusiasm to go and do the job we want to do. So, it's about cracking on.
There will be a chance to recharge the batteries a little bit, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The girls are promising. We're going to Croatia for a little time, so have some time with the girls. Have a couple of days at Centre Parks, too. So I hope the weather improves because we're going to be outside all week. But, absolutely. Family time's incredibly important. But the phone will be with me, and we'll make sure we make time for them.
And finally, excitement for next season is already starting to build.
Yeah, I don't want to be boring, but temper that. But obviously, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We've got a lot of work to do, mate. I'm genuinely very, very excited, very enthusiastic. I've got huge ambition here. We've got huge ambition for what we want to do. But, you know, there's lots of work to go ahead. So, we'll temper that slightly. But at the same time, thank you to everyone for their support. And we really, really hope that we can give you some stuff to cheer next year as well.
Luke, the winning goal on the final day of the season from the penalty spot. 11 goals for the season in the league, that's pretty good going, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Shout out at the start of the season for 10. So to get them in the last two games, isn't it? Two penalties, was you know, a personal delight.
Henning Vane was here today. He seems to think you might have German genealogy for your penalty spots.
Yeah, you'll know, but it was a great penalty. And I had to know. Just sort of missed a few in the season, sort of went back to... to sort of doing what I was used to, practicing and, you know, getting in that moment. And thankfully the last probably three or four have gone in.
How important was it to finish on a victory here today?
Yeah, massive. It was it was a team where it was a game where two teams didn't really have anything to play for, sort of like on the outside, but between the four walls in the dressing room, you know, we sat out to finish 10th and we did it today.
It's been a big season for you on and off the pitch as well. And the big thing is here, you know, we did learn this season that you didn't know what cauliflower cheese is, and a Wigan fan has brought this today along to the game.
Yeah, cauliflower cheese. That'll get chucked in the bin probably. No, I'm only joking. It's not really for me, I think, but I'm sure folks will eat it.
Well, you got the summer off now, so there's no excuse about diet. You could definitely eat this.
No. I don't really know what to say.
That's on you. That's a first as well.
No, thankful. You know, I don't even know. I'm sure folks will have it, like I said. And summer off. Sort of, you know, it's a disappointment because I didn't really want it to end, you know, with the form that we're in and the performance we've put out. It was it's sort of a disappointing way, you know, to end in terms of the season finishing today. But on performances and consistency, it's been a great sort of 3-4 months for the club.
And the platform we've got moving into next season, there's some real excitement about the place.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we finished it really strong. We just need to, like, you know, start next season as strong as we finished it and go on from there. But a great end to the season, you know. Cup final and 10th, I think, you know, back in sort of January would have bit your hand off for it. So for it to happen is credit to everyone at this football club, you know, Rob, Pete, Missy, the gaffer, the playing staff, the coaching staff, the chef, everyone's played their part, even you.
Wow. And to finish on the food, if we're going to keep going down this line, I've never had fillet steak. I don't know what fillet steak is. If someone could bring one of those along, maybe, I'd be very grateful.
Nice, medium rare.
Yeah. Rich, what a season it's been for you personally.
Yeah. I couldn't have asked for more. What a season. You said it. Unbelievable. From where we start and where we are now, it's been an incredible season, so we're all really happy and look out for next season.
Hard work and patience, it pays off, right?
Yeah, always be patient, work hard. I just want to say a little message for all my friends at non-league. Just keep playing, work your way out and be patient. Keep working hard and the result will come. So, yeah, that's it.
The fans are so excited to see what you've got for next season already. But how are you feeling about next season after the finish to this season?
Yeah, I can't wait for the next season to start, you know. I'm just just going to have a time off to enjoy and then get ready as soon as I can. Start training as soon as I can and look forward for next season. I have a lot to show, so I'm going to keep working and then see what next season brings.
Great scenes on the pitch after the final whistle at Adams Park on Saturday. And who knew? It was cauliflower cheese that would shut Luke Leahy up finally. Anyway, let's find out what the opposition fans had to think for the final time this season. A huge thanks to Vital Len and also the Regional Accents Department for their impressive work throughout the season to make this feature possible. Let's head to South London. Exiled Attic.
So, the least convincing unbeaten run in football history comes to an end. Hopefully that performance dispels any lingering illusions that this squad is anywhere near what is required to get us out of this division next season.
Mercia Al.
A shocker of a performance. As much as I applaud Nathan Jones for getting us out of trouble, he has made some really strange decisions in the past few games. This has probably been the most frustrating season in my supporting history, and I've seen a few in my time. I sincerely hope that Jones is extremely busy in the summer, because we're absolutely nowhere near a team that could win promotion.
Sir Darcy Soto.
So we finished the season in 16th, making this the worst Charlton Athletic team for nigh on 100 years. And for most of the season, we were even worse than that. Get rid of the clowns.
Jordan Clark.
Only Charlton could have the league's top scorer and one of our longest unbeaten runs ever, and still finish in the lowest league position in our history.
Alex CAFC.
We was absolutely pony today, as were Wickham. Some serious, serious surgery is needed in the summer. It's certainly time to see the back of Thomas. What was he doing for that pen? On top of that, it was yet another game spoiled by a refereeing performance.
Joinerama.
We were crap throughout. It was so depressing to watch, just the sort of performance to make people question why they should buy a season ticket. The referee got steadily worse as the second half went on. Why no pen given for the clip on Kano? And no bookie when Campbell was clearly pulled back. I hope Jones' recruitment skills can achieve what's needed to give us a top six chance. But after today, I really wonder if he knows what he's doing.
Ronnie the T.
I want to congratulate all the Charlton fans that went to Wickham today. Unfortunately, most of our players didn't turn up. And there goes the unbeaten run.
Kings Hill Attic.
Today's lineup and those subs made Nathan Jones look like he doesn't know what he's doing. I would have preferred to keep the unbeaten run going, but at the same time, it would be a real travesty if this group of misfits ended up holding a record that could stand for years and years. And why the heck were we not wearing red and white?
Auckland Attic.
I thought Luar Luar tripping over his own feet at the end summed up the game and the season. There were players out there today who looked like they'd won a raffle prize to play in a professional game. It really was that bad.
Killer and Flash.
Well, that was a decent day for me, if you ignore the dire football in the middle. Wickham's ground really is inconveniently located, but there's some lovely countryside nearby. Sadly, I have to talk about the match. There was some odd team selection today and a desperate lack of creativity in the first half. A terrible ref just added to the fun. Still, at least Wickham stopped Rebellion Beer. Their IPA is a really nice pint.
Luis Mendez.
Let us never speak of this season again.
With news breaking this week that Pete Kuhig has retired from the Chairboys, we can all look back with great fondness with his 5 years at Wycombe Wanderers. His general enthusiasm for football was hugely infectious, none more so than when he found out about Wishaw Wycombe Wanderers north of the border, combining his love of football and Scotland in one story. Well, Wishaw have had a fantastic season, so we caught up with Alex from Wishaw Wycombe Wanderers to find out the latest. So there is a Wycombe Wanderers that have won a cup this season. It's our friends north of the border, Wishaw Wycombe Wanderers. They won the Douglas Smith League Cup on Friday night. And let's chat to our old friend Alex from Wishaw Wycombe Wanderers. Alex, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Phil. And thank you very much to you and everyone at Wycombe for the congratulations.
Well, what a night as well. And it wasn't just a straightforward cup win. It was a rout, wasn't it? 5-0?
Well, do you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to our opposition, but what had happened, I'd probably explain a bit of the background. We had got all the big teams on our side of the draw. Rothesay, who played valiantly on the night, they're a first division team. Now, don't get me wrong, give them their due. They beat two Premier League teams to get to the final. But I think we were strong favourites to win it. And as you've seen from the result, that's what happened. But delighted nevertheless.
Favourites or not, cup competitions can cause upsets, as Wycombe fans know. So you've still got to win that game, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. It was quite ironic, actually, because I know that Wycombe had sadly lost out in the trophy final to Peterborough. And then the night, Darren Keeping, your old friend who you met down in Blackpool, Darren had sent me a message the week before your trip to Carlisle to see if any of us were going to come to Carlisle. But of course, Carlisle was the 20th of April, which was the day after our cup final on the 19th. And also we had a race night for fundraising planned for the 20th. So we sadly couldn't make the 20th, but we made up for it with the result.
Absolutely. And the thing that I love to see about the pictures that I've seen is you were wearing the dark and light blue. It was the change kits for the final. Is that right?
We certainly did. And for a couple of reasons. One, we were delighted when Pete and, you know, Morton Golfin and obviously Wycombe had helped out with the tops. So we thought, let's for this big final, because it is quite a big final for the leagues that we play in. We wanted to pay homage to Wycombe Wanderers by wearing the strips. But also, Pete was very kind to allow us to use a charity which is close to our heart, Chrissy's House. And so Chrissy's House is in the front of the strips. So, you know, getting to thank both sides of it.
Amazing. And apart from the cup final, how's the season been? Because I get coppered into all of your games and fixtures, which I love because I get to see what's going on. You had a big run of postponements, didn't you? Which I guess is kind of par for the course up there.
Yeah, we probably if I could go back to over about a season and a half ago, Phil, the club, this is my 25th season and it's the club's 30th anniversary, as you know, but about a season and a half ago, myself and Tam, who run the team, Tam was thinking of moving away from management, and I wanted to try and reinvigorate the team. So we both approached a former goalkeeper, Kevin McGee, who on and off has spent probably about 20 years with the team. So he came in last year, and Kevin and I both approached our under-21s coach, Colin Chapman, as well as a couple of other boys, Liam Hoey and Dave Robb, former players again. And the under-21s team brought in seven or eight players, and we made Kevin the manager. And it's been such a turnaround. At the beginning of the season, with all the new players, it was an up-and-down kind of season as the boys tried to gel. But we've really gelled as a management team. The team's really gelled. Kevin's training, his attention to detail has really paid dividends. And we're now actually, we're in a second cup. we've got an outside chance of the league, but I've got to admit, St. Joseph's, who are sitting top of the league just now, is really, they've got to lose the league now. They're 7 points clear of us. Although we do have them to play before the season finishes, but 7 points is quite a bit of a gap to make up. So yeah, got to say it's been a very positive season, Phil.
Amazing. Well, we'll be backing you to win the league as well. You've got all our support as ever. And it's great to hear that things are going so well. And it's not just the first team at Wishaw, is it? We should really expand upon the huge amount of people in the community that are involved with the club.
Yeah, we've being president of the overall club, and because I've taken a wee bit of, I'm not managing the amateur team. I'm still involved in the background management. But we do have 6 girls teams in our girl academy, as well as 18 teams overall. So I did have the honour of presenting our girls team with their trophies at the tail end of last year. And we invited along an old girls academy player, a girl by the name of Ailey Austin, who now plies her trade with Glasgow Rangers women's team. And she also has played for the, I think it's the under-19 Scotland team. She's in the squad. So, yes, we really are a community club, Phil, and thoroughly enjoy being part of it.
Amazing. And that's the great thing about football, isn't it? Your local club, that's where you pick up your boots for the first time and you can progress. We've seen it with the men's team. We've now seen it with the women's setup. You can go through and represent your country from Wishaw.
You absolutely can. And I think that's why we've got such an affinity with Wickham. Not because we've got the same name, but but when I see, you know, you guys got to a trophy final and I know that you are probably Wickham's probably sitting about 10th in the table just now. But it does feel like a small club but being part of the community. And Darren Keeping, our old friend who lives up here in Glasgow, he certainly keeps us up to date with what's happening as well. And yeah, just, I love it. I love it.
One day, what I'd love to find is someone who starts at Wishaw Wickham Wanderers, who finds their way into the first team at Wickham Wanderers down here. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, do you know, because we have had such a successful few weeks, like all successful teams, people are inquiring about our players. And we have had a number of junior sides. Now, when I say junior sides, that's the equivalent of you guys non-league down there. And we've also had a League 2 side up here. Albion Rovers has inquired about a couple of our players. But that's not lost in me. How nice would it be if someone was to come down and play for Wickham Wanderers as well? That would be brilliant.
Well, I'm sure it will happen one day and that will complete the relationship we have with you guys. Congratulations on the cup win. Good luck for the rest of the season. We're rooting for you in the league. 7 points isn't that much. Stranger things have happened. And the spirit of Wickham is with you. And have a great summer afterwards as well and come back stronger next season.
We certainly will. All the very best to you, Phil, and to everyone at Wickham Wanderers. And keep wearing the colours because you wear them well.
As the men's season has drawn to a close, it's the same for Wickham Wanderers women as well. They were away to Warminster yesterday. Ahead of that game, we spoke to Wickham Wanderers women's reporter Craig Anderson to find out how their season has gone. Craig, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Phil. How are you?
Very good indeed. How's the season been for Wickham Wanderers women?
I think it's been good. It's certainly been a progression on last season that Carl kind of wants to do, this sort of three-year plan he talks about. And I think this beginning of the season was fantastic. You know, it was clean sheets and, you know, big victories, and we were sort of, you know, in the upper echelons of the table. I think since sort of December time, January time, we've had a lot of postponements. Sort of the pitch hasn't been great. We have breaks over Christmas as well. We have like a little winter break, if you like, in the women's game. And I think the second half of the season, because of that, has kind of been a little bit stagnant. But in general, from last season, it's been a big improvement, and I think, you know, everyone's really happy with how we've progressed this season.
And in terms of the league position,
mid-table, which, you know, on the trajectory from finishing a bit lower down last season, is, again, it's good. It's not where we'd want to be. Of course, we want to be near the top of the league, and sort of trying to get into that sort of second or third positions. But you know, we've definitely like kind of accepted the season where we're going to come, and we're just going to, you know, aim for next season and kick on even more.
If I remember rightly, though, this is a step up from where we were last season. Wycombe Wanderers, I think, had to sweat it out at the end of last season in terms of their league position. So progress is being made.
It is, 100%. And it was a bit of a touch-and-go moment last season about, you know, where we're going to stay in this division or where potentially we might have even been relegated. But the nature of it, we stayed in the league. And, you know, I think, like you say, from last season having that problem to this season having no issues at all about going one way. But, you know, for the first half of the season, we were only looking forward. And then when you look at the teams in the league, you know, the teams that have gone up in Bournemouth, you know, we beat them at home 2-1 in the league. And they were undefeated up to that point. And we were the only team to beat them, you know. So that was a huge feather in the cap. Ascot, who were second, who were only like 2 or 3 points behind them, we beat them as well, but on their own pitch, on their turf. Woodley, who were third, we drew both games with them, 1-1 and 0-0. So, you know, the best teams in this league, we are competing with them and we are beating them. I think the consistency is the key thing here. And if we can sort of nail that next season, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't be in that conversation to go up next season.
It would seem that's the trajectory the club are on. For people listening to this who want to get involved or know people who may want to get involved, the club in the past have had trial days. Is that the case again this summer?
Absolutely. They're happening like almost already. Like the gaff is really keen to kind of get a kickstart, now. You know, we're just about to finish our season, but he's very, very keen to get players in already to have a look at them. You can easily find links on our social media. They're pinned to the top of our profile. So if you are, you know, if you're a female player or you're thinking about getting involved and or you're sort of an under-18s player, then, you know, we're looking to fill all the teams first, under-23s and the under-18s. Go on our social media, fill out a form, and the gaffer or member of the coaching team will be in touch with you.
And are the teams still settled at Burnham? Is that going to be the home for next season?
Very much looks like it at this point. I think we really feel at home now, Burnham. This is our second season playing there. And, you know, even though it's Burnham Stadium, whenever we're there, we feel like it's Wycombe Wanderers Stadium. We really do feel part of the furniture. The staff there are fantastic. You know, they're just there. They're our biggest advocates and supporters when we are there, and they make it literally feel like it's just ours. You know, and the facilities are brilliant. We're so lucky to use them. I know the men's team have used them a few times when the weather's been a bit unfortunate. So, you know, that just shows you the quality of the pitch and the facilities there that we have access to. So, yeah, I'm, you know, I hope we can. I don't know. I've made no decisions, but I hope we can, and hopefully use it for many years to come.
And wherever the games will take place, they're Sundays, aren't they? So the call, I guess, is for Wycombe fans to get behind the Wycombe Wanderers women's team as well and come to those home games.
Yeah, it's £4. It's £4 for a match. £3 if you're a men's season ticket holder. That's what it is at the moment. What will happen at the beginning of next season, I do not know. But for this point in time, yes, if you're a men's season ticket holder, you get a bit of a discount. Under-18s go completely free. So, you know, for the family, you know, you can bring your dog. Animals are allowed. So you can literally bring the entire family down to Burnham with the dog as well. And, you know, yes, 2 o'clock on a Sunday at Burnham. You know, normally if the first team aren't at home, if the first team away, the under-23s are playing at home on a Sunday at 2 o'clock. So, you know, if you do want to come and watch the Chair Girls on a Sunday, more often than not, one of those teams are going to be at home. So, yeah, we'd love your support. And, you know, we're trying to grow that side of things. We've hit over 100 twice this season, which I know might not seem like a lot in sort of the grand scheme of things, but for us and the progression from last season, going from sort of, you know, 50 to 70 fans a game to going over 100 a couple of times, to us, that's a huge, you know, a huge jump. And we can't ignore those little steps, because, you know, ultimately, when you look back in a few years' time, they will feel like much bigger steps.
Okay, it's that time of the show. For the final time this season, till death us do part, your football club is like a marriage. Once you've chosen them, yeah, yours for life. Through richer for poorer, for mid-table, for top of the table, relegation battles, You're with them the whole time. And this week, we're going even further into the West Country after joining last week in Plymouth. We've got Julian Budd, who's down in near Truro, I believe. Julian, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. Looking forward to this one because we've spoken to some of your mutual friends on this podcast this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
and you've come highly recommended.
Well, let's not go that far. Yeah, I'm literally the only one of the three left would probably be closer to the point.
So we had Darren Keeping, who was up in Scotland. We've had Simon Rumble, who's I think in Bedfordshire. You're down in Cornwall. But what I love about your story is because we've all got this. We've all got our mates that we went to football with when we were young. And I've still got the WhatsApp group of mine. And we all still chat about the games, etc. And I see that all around the stadium. And I guess you guys have got the same.
Yeah, definitely. We met up back in 82 when we all started at Aylesbury Grammar School together. And through the 80s, we would go to the games. To be honest, for me, it wasn't that regular, but we did talk about the games. And it was, for me, when we moved to Adams Park and through the O'Neill years was my starting point, really. And you'd find us on the, I think it was the Woodlands Terrace, wasn't it? Below where you guys are on the gantry now, where the family stand is. We'd be standing there. That's where we were. Yeah, it was, and I still remember Steve Guppy roasting people down that wing, you know, as if it was yesterday.
Yeah, that was the best place to stand to watch Steve Guppy.
It was.
The Runcorn goal. This time of year, April, that always gets resurfaced. I think the gas man, Paul Lewis, always seems to find a different angle of it every year that that it comes up. It's still, I think, the best goal scored at Adams Park, isn't it?
Do you know, I was thinking about this. We're going to come to this later. So let's come to that because there's a one that I think might be better.
Okay. That's all good. So it goes back to the early 80s then. Let's dive straight into this because the first bit is something old. Your favourite ever Wycombe Wanderers memory.
Yeah, now I can't really see past Torquay, I'm afraid. You know, I know it's been mentioned regularly, but it's simply because how that day turned out and what our expectations were before we turned up, because myself, Simon, Darren, we'd been there obviously when we got promoted into the Football League, and it just felt right that we had to go just for completeness, because to be honest, we'd been on a pretty awful run of form, certainly through the March, and we'd just lost at Bristol, and you think, oh, this just genuinely, and it's out of our hands. And once it's out of your hands, I was just assuming the worst was going to happen. So, yeah, it has to be that one. So, you know, half time, we're 2-0 up, we're doing fine. And Mansfield, fair play to them, they've turned up. They didn't need to, they had nothing to play for that day, did they? You know, but they've turned up and it just meant, but it was only 1-0. So, come half time, we're it's pretty uncomfortable because you know that Bristol are going to have a go because otherwise they're down. And we're kind of all standing there and you can see what everyone else was thinking. It's the, this might happen, because at that stage it was going to happen, but no one dare say anything just in case that jinxed it. You know, it was just, yeah, it was agony that second half, but then we'd done our bit, hadn't we? So we're 3 up and then I'm not watching that game. I'm genuinely just listening for murmurs in the crowd around me because we weren't behind the goal. We were to the left in that sort of family bit because I had my two young boys with me. But even so, you're still there listening for any murmurs around you. And as soon as you heard one, you're looking around. Was that a good thing? You know, what's happened? Because we just didn't know. Yeah, but it was just agony. And then when we get to the end, it's just, I've never felt so drained yet elated after a game before or since. So it has to be at the top.
Absolutely. Were you already in Cornwall when that game was happening?
No, definitely. Because I was 10 years. I'm expecting a Facebook memory in a couple of weeks because it's almost 10 years ago, isn't it?
Yes.
We've been down here 7 years. So at the time, I was up in Northamptonshire, Brackley.
So you had that long journey. To me, it felt like I was on my way to a funeral, if that makes
sense. Yeah, it did. It's that sense of duty I felt that you feel sometimes when you go to funerals. It's not an immediate family. It's a duty. I've got to go. And this was the same. You're right. It did feel like that. The fact we got out of it was just fantastic.
A lot's been said about Gareth Ainsworth's reaction in the week leading up to that game about, I believe in fairy tales. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I think there was only a very, very small amount of people that felt like that. And it was mainly just Gareth on his own. What was your reaction as a fan when you heard that? Did the eyes roll and think he's just going through the motions here?
I thought he was doing it to as part of what he was telling the players, to get it into their heads that this could happen. You need to believe. I think it was more of that than anything else, you know. Obviously, it was right at the start. That was his first full season, wasn't it? Mm. I think he'd been in charge for most of the season before.
That's right.
So yeah. We're all still trying to... So the legend of Gareth Ainsworth was right in its infancy, wasn't it? That was, for me, the big part of his legend and all the stuff that's happened since. I wasn't rolling my eyes. I genuinely think he was doing it to motivate the players or to get into their heads. We can do this, you know, we can do this. And it is quite funny, towards the end when we knew we were staying up, you could see some of the players had obviously heard from the crowd, and, you know, and their reaction was just priceless. I can't tell you the particular players who was doing that, but I just have this vision of some of them sort of looking our way, and you could see they were sort of, we've done it, you know, hang on, I've got to concentrate on this game I'm playing, you know. Yeah.
No, amazing times. And it's the pictures that day of Gareth. He's in, I think he was a sub maybe, or he's definitely in
was Wickham. He still playing then, was he?
I can't remember. He was certainly wearing the training kit with the sign with Believe and stuff like that, because then obviously the following season, we now have the outfit that he still wears to this day on Sky, the blue shirt, the blue trousers.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It was almost that was the day when Gareth, the player / coach, was almost sort of left there, and he became Gareth the smart casual / smart rock, whatever it is.
Smart, I'm not so sure, but so, yeah, certainly the rock side of it. Yeah. You'd mentioned on one of the other podcasts about the, I didn't see this guy who was dressed as Jesus.
We've never found
Did you find out who he was?
It's a bit like a Crime Watch appeal. If anyone has any information, please contact us. Do not have nightmares.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a guy that, you know, the full white sort of outfit, beard, long hair, glasses.
So was he in behind the goal where
he
you
was,
guys
yeah.
were?
Yeah, and he turned up with his Believe sign, which then obviously then Gareth got hold of and held it up and became very much like our own sort of Jesus 2.0 after David Carroll, didn't he? But we never did find who the Jesus was that day. If you are out there, we'd love to speak to you. We can protect your identity if required. But
why would you want to protect your identity? you're gonna be a legend forever, aren't you?
Maybe he's just toured this time of year. He's very busy. Just tours, sort of. Maybe he'll be at Cheltenham.
It was near Easter, wasn't it? When was Easter that year?
Exactly. Maybe he's going to be at Cheltenham on the weekend, because they need a very similar situation involving Darryl Clark, who was on the wrong side of this one. So maybe...
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's what he does. He just travels around football clubs that needs that little bit of divine help.
Well, maybe you need to... Because I obviously, listening to the Cambridge guys last night, because I couldn't get your commentary, that they were saying... It sounds like they were in exactly the same position last year.
Mm.
Exactly the same. So maybe he was there last year, and maybe he'd be back again to help him out.
There we are. Well, brilliant, brilliant memories. Right, we're moving to the modern day. Something new, your favourite player in the current squad?
Yeah, there's no question of this. It's Josh Scowen. You know, he's as good now as he was when he was with us originally. Bloke never stops. But I do personally prefer him in that deeper role. I know why. You can see why they're trying to play him further forward. I don't know whether that's his choice. He's sort of said, Gaffer, look, you know, I can do this. I can be more creative. Or whether that's how it works with Potts and Butcher there. I don't know. But I prefer him in a deeper role. It's just one of those players that you notice when he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Because he's not a flair player, but that disruptor type role running around, he's just brilliant. And we've had players like that before. This shirt I've got now has got Michael Simpson on the back. Similar sort of player. That sort of disruptor type role he was just another stunning player. And to be honest, this is the only time I've ever put someone's name and number on my shirt.
Oh, wow.
Never done it before or since. And it's got Michael Simpson on it. So that tells you what I thought of the guy.
Absolutely. I often refer to Scurry as the heartbeat of the side, because it kind of, he very much is that, isn't he? The dynamo.
But you see him certainly last night as well, and he was getting a little bit frustrated when it wasn't quite. He had a couple of shots, didn't he, both sides of the goal. And you think, is he frustrated because, well, what's he trying to do? Is he because he prefers to be in the other role? I don't know. I don't know where he's coming with that, because he didn't seem to quite enjoy it as much, but maybe I'm reading it wrong.
Yeah, and he had a couple of good shots as well, didn't he? Because I think this season he had a close range effort for his. He normally chips in with about one goal a season.
But they're usually longer range though, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. But last night we saw a little glimpse of that as well. I thought maybe he was going to pop one in from outside the area. But...
yeah, maybe it's just he's got these standards that he's kept up for years and years, which he has, and he's been outstanding for years. The fact he's missed a couple that he thinks he probably should have done better, that's the frustration, I guess.
And he's been with us for so long. I know he's been elsewhere in between, but now we've
We'll let him off the Sunderland thing.
Yeah, you know, you're all allowed one sort of one issue in life.
I suppose,
But we've got the development players coming through now, but we almost forget that he was one of our very own from the start, wasn't he? One of those kids.
Yeah, I think Scott Rendell had said at the time, this guy needs a chance. He's going to be some player. And he wasn't wrong. He was some player. And still is. I say he's, 31, something like that? But he's running around like he was 21.
Absolutely. And it was the aforementioned Gareth Ainsworth that gave him his first chance. Pulled him back from loan and stuck him straight in the side.
Yeah, he's some player. But then so we got Michael Simpson was another one that obviously I'm a big fan of. You can go back to Gary Smith. Do you remember him?
From the
1992. But to be honest, that was a bit more of an agricultural time back then, wasn't it? With the sort of challenges that came in. I loved him. I loved that sort of football. He'd be prowling around the midfield looking for a 50-50. And then he'd wait. Just a little bit. So it was 60-40 against. Then he'd go in. It was just brilliant. I loved that time.
He was a real destroyer, Gary Smith. And also scorer of the first competitive goal at Adams Park.
Was he? Well, I'm sure I would have been there because that was the time then I was really getting into it. But my memory is a little hazy from back then.
Yeah, I had to check it out because Mark West scored against Forest in the friendly.
Yeah, I remember that.
The opening league game, I think it was a 1-1 draw with Witton Albion, and Gary Smith popped one in from just outside the area. I don't think he scored many, but...
No, he didn't, no, because that wasn't really his role. He was more there to snap people's legs in half.
Absolutely. Right then, on to something borrowed. Now, this is either your favourite ever loanee or player that you wished that we'd signed, but we never did.
Well, I can do you... I'm torn between two that we... favourite loanees, but I've also got a... Someone we should have signed. So,
if
we've got time. Yeah. So, the more obvious of the borrowed ones, Alfie Mawson, he's just without doubt one of the most talented players we've ever had. It's just, people talk about Eze and fair play. I'd probably say he is better, but Mawson was just, he just had so much time. And that Luton goal that I did watch back again the other day, it's almost as if he'd said to himself, do you know what? I'm just going to go and score now. And he's just gone and done it. You know, there was a 1-2, I think, was with Hayes.
The pass from Hayes, because the finish is so
lovely
good.
Chip, wasn't it?
The pass from Hayes is exquisite.
Yes. Yeah, it was, right into his path. But the sweat finish, it was just stunning. You know, and he's just one of those players you could see was destined for greater things. And when he came back, so what was that, August 22? So we, myself and two of my boys, we were going to the Exeter game, which was a couple of days later, the Tuesday night. So we were down here then. And we were talking about it on the way and thinking, OK, he's coming back. That's great. Can't wait to see him play. But is he going to be the same player? Because he's obviously that little bit older. Mm. Obviously, he had the well-documented injury issues. Within about 5 minutes, so we're obviously behind the goal at Exeter. So he's playing on the left side of the central defence. He's pinged this ball 40 or 50 yards. Did you do the commentary that day?
Yeah, I would have been there, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So he's pinged this pass from left side of the defence, 40 or 50 yards with a little bit of cut spin, diagonally across the pitch into the path of GMAC, who didn't even have to break stride. And as soon as we saw that, I thought, he's still got it. He was just a stunning, stunning player. And it's that time that those sort of players have got, which you see with Potts as well. He's got it as well.
It is the time, isn't it? That's the thing when you see someone, they get the ball and it's like, they might not do anything dramatic with it, but it's just the fact that they've done it in a way that they look like they could have made a cup of tea before they did
it. Well, they could, but it's as if when they get the ball, the ball's coming to them, they already know where everyone is.
Yeah.
And they know where to put that first touch to give them that time to then play pass. That, I think, is what it is. And he was just stunning. So he's the more obvious one.
Yeah.
The less obvious favourite loanee is Scott Davis.
Ah, Davis. Yes, yeah.
So he was on loan, wasn't he, in 2009? Mm. And he scored two goals in like second or third game against Walsall, didn't he, at Adams Park. And the first one, and this is what I'm talking about, best goals at Adams Park. Ah. It was about a 45 or so yard out free kick, wasn't it? I think it was just inside their half. And he just lobs the keeper. The vision to do the vision to see it and to be able to actually do it and not look like an idiot, it was just stunning. And then he scored another one that same half. So the ball's rolled across to him about 20 yards out, rolled across from the left, and he's let it come across him and drilled it with his right foot into the far right corner. And that's two brilliant goals from what was, well, clearly a guy who had the talent, and obviously it never happened for him, and we know why it didn't happen, and it's just such a shame what he went through. And you do wonder whether if he had been able to sign for us at the time, his life might have turned out better on and off the pitch.
Absolutely. Well, with the Alfie Mawson example, because we always say never fall in love with a loanee, but we all fell in love with him, but then he became ours anyway. So it kind of
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. So that kind of works, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, it would be nice to have seen Scott given the chart. Well, he was at Reading, wasn't he? So I'm assuming we just couldn't afford him, you know, or for whatever reason. He never had an opportunity to come to us permanently, but I'd love to have had him there.
Well, he's doing a great job at Slough as well, which
he
is
yeah
see,
it so. Looks like they're a solid mid-table side there, aren't they, in the National League, so fair play to him. And I think he also spends time talking about his story to various schools in the area, you know.
Yeah.
And if that saves one person from what he went through, then it's got to be worth it, isn't it?
And a point of order as well, he's doing well at Slough. We don't want him to do too well, obviously, but you know, I think the gap at the moment is just bearable for us.
That's just fine. About deal with that, can't we? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're of a certain age, we can both agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one so that's the two favourite loanees, and someone I think we should have signed, but there's a caveat to this. He was our player. He then went away, and there was an opportunity. There were rumours that we might have been able to get him back, and that was Sergio Torres.
Oh.
Another fan favourite, just brilliant. But he was a flair player, which typically isn't my sort of player, but he was just brilliant. And he went to Peterborough, didn't he, for a couple of years, and that didn't work for him. And it was after that that there was sort of rumours around where we were that he might be available. So there was that thinking, come on then, let's bring him back. But for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was because he did get injured that we never went in for him.
He was a tremendous player. He had everything for me. I love a flair player, he could drop a shoulder, but it was the hair as well. You know, it was everything about him. And the fact Wickham Wanderers had an Argentinian. I mean, obviously, in this day and age, it's not unusual to have players from all over the place. But back then, it was like, wow, we've got an Argentinian flair player.
and the backstory of having to stack shelves to, you know, make a living beforehand is just brilliant, you know, that he's come over and he's got that chance, and you could see he had it. He was a great player.
Well, the stories that football can tell is just fantastic. Better than any Hollywood scriptwriter, I would
say. Yeah, definitely.
Right, we're on to something blue now. This could be either your favourite ever piece of club merchandise or an idea that the club should take up and stock in the shop. And I must say, some of the ideas we've had this season are actually being considered to
are
go
they?
For the shop.
I can't imagine either of mine will, but yeah, let's give it a go. So the first one is a Wickham-branded energy drink or the nutritional bars.
Okay.
This is big business now that people, you know, take these supplements, the players take them, you see it. So why not have our own branded range?
What would be the flavour?
I haven't got that far, and I haven't got a brand name, because you need to come up with some snappy title for the drink, don't you?
Yeah.
But certainly you could brand different flavours for home and away and different coloured strips. You could have special editions with particular players or squad numbers on them. See, there's lots of things you could do with that. And you could also, you'd place them in the club, you'd place them in the local shops and supermarkets. But if you wanted to, why not place them in other club sort of fan base areas in their shops as well?
I love this.
Try and get a few fans from them as well.
I think this is fantastic. I mean, clubs could even take their own version. I mean, you could imagine the Peterborough United one having a particularly bitter aftertaste.
Are they still bitter now? Because they bloody shouldn't be. Should they? They genuinely shouldn't be.
Yeah. And the Oxford United one would just be that sort of triangular shaped carton. So it'd be quite difficult to get the straw in the top.
Well, it'd be a can with one side missing, wouldn't it? So it's just never going to work.
I think this is fantastic. And then we could have like a retro range from about 4 or 5 years ago where whatever the brand is. And then the tagline underneath was, you wouldn't want to drink that every week.
Yeah, you know, there's all sorts of things you could do with that marketing-wise. So that I think could be a winner. I've got one that's slightly more left field, but, you know, in a perfect world, this could work, which would be an online second-hand shop. And it's run by the club, okay, but it's stocked only with Wycombe Wanderers players' stuff. Okay. So I don't want just their valuable signed shirts. We're not interested in that. We're interested in all the things that they probably class as tap that they're going to throw away. So bear with me. So who wouldn't want like G-Mac's coffee table or JJ's, sofa in your man cave? Do you see what I mean?
Now this.
Stuff like that. People like us as fans would think that is the best thing ever. The players just want shot of it. Put it, you know, have some online sale, buy it now. Club would need a stock room somewhere. You could collect them, put them in your office or your man cave, and you could sit on JJ's sofa.
This has got legs, definitely. This has definitely got legs, and it fits the David Wheeler Green agenda because it's obviously...
Well, there you go, you're recycling,
it's recycling.
You?
And a little bit of behind-the-curtain information here, because the club have some sort of, flats and places around the area where players who are on loan or move from further afield, whatever. And one of the players left the club, and then we had to go and get some bits and clear the flat. And they had a gaming chair in their flat, which became incredibly hot property in the office because it was by far the best chair in the office. So it became sort of a bit of a war to say who's going to claim this chair in the office. I'm not in enough, so I couldn't get in there to get this chair.
No chance.
But it became incredibly hot property. So I think you could be onto something here.
Well, you could open it up to the ex-players as well. One that springs to mind is someone like Simon Garner's halftime pint glass. That has a value to one of us as a fan. So yes, that would just be brilliant.
It'd be virtually worn out, but you could...
Well, it would. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, to a fan, those things are priceless.
That could be, you know, you got Sergio Torres' toaster from when he was at Wycombe. I mean, imagine the market
all
value
those things. Yeah. And it doesn't have to work either as an electrical item. It genuinely doesn't. It's just the fact it was his. That's all that counts to us. Doesn't need to work. It's a bit of art.
This is, I mean, I say this every week, this is one of the best ideas we've had.
Well, I thought it was a bit out there, but you never know.
There's nothing, this is the whole point of this podcast, there's nothing that's too far out there. We like to find the gems that are out there in the rough, which is superb. Right, I'm going to put this to the club as well. Just imagine us now selling off our players' furniture. I mean, we'll have to ask them first, obviously.
yeah, fair enough. But, you know, I think it's got something there. So there you go. That and the drinks. You know, genius. We're on to something.
Fantastic. So are you coming? How often are you able to get to Adams Park now?
Because I get to all the home games.
That's a monumental effort.
There's a caveat. I don't do the Tuesday nights because of where I am. It's about a 540-odd-mile round trip.
Well, that's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I don't do the Tuesdays, but I will be at Charlton. I've done all the other Saturday games, and I've done some of the away ones, obviously Exeter, Bristol, and I had to go to Oxford, so I've done those as well.
And we met each other.
Blackpool.
We met each other at Blackpool, didn't we? Because I met Dr. Simon Rumble and Darren Keeping, your friends, who've got you into this.
He's not a real doctor. Don't get him telling you he's a real doctor. He's just his philosophy. It's not a proper one. Yeah.
He's more of a doctor than Dr. Fox, though, right?
Well, yeah, probably.
I think we probably are as well, if we think about it. But that was great because that was, you know, a weekend with the boys, wasn't it? So again, it's that school friendship that's then all these years later, not that many years, obviously, all these years later, you're still going to football together and making weekends and making memories together. And that really is what football's all about, isn't it?
Yes, no, it is definitely. And with Darren being up in Glasgow, and obviously I'm all the way down here, that seems a sensible place for us to meet up and have a weekend together, tell the same old stories, which is what we all do, isn't it? And, you know, and go to the game.
Right, that's your lot for this week and indeed this season. Many thanks to Julian and everybody else who has contributed to Ringing the Blues along the way. A mid-table finish, a trip to Wembley and great momentum heading into next season. I'm off for a cauliflower cheese. Come on, you Blues.